So let's learn a little about Sudas Purim and put ourselves in the mood for Purim. Of all the mitzvahs that apply to Purim, the mitzvah that gets a lot of attention, perhaps maybe too much attention, is the mitzvah of Suda. But then, you know, that really captures the moment of Purim. You know, when we sit down, we eat the Suda together, and we achieve Simcha. So the first thing that we want to know is, do we have to eat the Suda by day? Can we eat the Suda at night? And if we have to eat the Suda by day, should we be eating an additional Suda at night? The second question we want to ask is whether or not we have to eat meat. Thank you very much. And do we have to establish the meal over a pas, over a piece of bread? And then, Bichlal, we want to ask a general question. How do we integrate the mitzvah of Suda into all the mitzvahs of Simchas Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur. So the first question we want to address is there a mitzvah to eat a Suda at night? And that you'll see on your page 1, in the middle of the page. The Gemara says, in Masechta Megillah, on Daf Zayin Amud Beis, Amar Rava, Su'udas Purim Shachla B'Layla Lo Yotze Yedei Chavas. If you ate the Suda at night, you did not fulfill your mitzvah of Su'udas Purim. My timer, why is that so? Yimei Mishteh V'Simcha K'siv. The emphasis here is on Yomim.
Yimei.
Yomim V'Lo Leilos. In other words, the mitzvah of Suda, like all the other mitzvahs of the day, have to be fulfilled during the day and not at night. In fact, the Me'iri in Masechta Megillah seems to assume that the night of Purim is just the night before Purim. It's not really Purim at all. That Purim starts by day. However, we have to ask a question here. There is one mitzvah, at least, that applies in the night of Purim. What's that?
Megillah.
Megillah. So if there's Kriyat HaMegillah at night, obviously, it's Purim. I mean, the Me'iri will say that that reading the Megillah at night is just sort of, you know, a preparation for Purim. You know, you get into the spirit of Purim. But it's not really Purim. But if we leave the Me'iri on the side...
Well, you can even read the Megillah as early as the 11th. If you're like a villager that's going to the city. So that's
maybe that would... That would prove the point of the Me'iri, that you could have a Kriyas HaMegillah that comes before Purim, you know, as early as Yud Aleph, even though that Kriya is not on Purim itself. But be that as it may, let's assume for our purposes that Purim is a 24-hour holiday. You know, this is a unit called the day, the halachic unit where Hayom Holech Achar Halayla, so the Laila is integrated into Purim. And we do have a Kriyas HaMegillah at night. So maybe you heard of a Rishon from Chachmei Ashkenaz, becoming more and more popular today as we read his work, called the Rav Yoh. Jonathan, you heard of the Rav Yoh, didn't you?
I think we went to high school together.
Alright. I can never get a serious answer from him. You know? Alright. No, the reason I asked you if you heard of the Rav Yoh is because, didn't you learn in the Gush?
No.
Oh, you never learned in the
that
Gush.
That was Ricky.
Okay. Who learned in the Gush?
Ricky.
Ricky? Okay. Of course, in the Gush, they make a big deal about the Rav Yoh. Avraham Lichtenstein is very heavy into the Rav Yoh. Rav Yoh. That's Rosh Tevis for his name, which... Anyway, the Rav Yoh is of the opinion that just like there's a mitzvah of reading the Megillah at night, there's also a mitzvah of eating a Suda at night. And the Bach goes into great detail defending the Rav Yoh against the Gemara, because the Gemara says explicitly that if you eat the Suda's Purim at night, you did not fulfill your mitzvah. Mm-hmm. Says the Rav Yoh, in the way the Bach interprets, that although you didn't fulfill your mitzvah, it doesn't mean that you're completely free and alleviated from the obligation to eat a Suda at night. Obviously, that Suda, even according to the Rav Yoh, at night is not sufficient, but it is necessary. And this, by the way, reflects itself in the Mishnah Berurah and others. They encourage you, the Ramah encourages you to eat a Suda at night as well. It's not, you know, it's not Yehari Bal Yavar, it's not Likuva, but nevertheless, based on this Rav Yoh, we should have that minig. If you take a look at the Magen Avraham, he writes, which you'll see in the third paragraph on the top of the page, and this is all taken from Simon Tuf Reish Tzadi Hei. And he quotes the Kolbo, Yesh Noagim Shalolechel Basar Balayla. Some have a minig dafka not to eat meat at night, so that we shouldn't be confused about this. If we start this minig of eating a suda at night with meat, people might draw the mistaken conclusion, hey, you know what, I already fulfilled my mitzvah at night. And maybe this year, since Purim is on Friday, it makes the Suda's Purim is a little bit more challenging. Somebody might come to the conclusion, well, I ate a Suda's Purim at night, that should be enough. The Darkei Moshe, which is the Ramah's commentary on the tour, quotes the Rav Yah, that just like there's a mitzvah to read the Megillah at night, so too there's a mitzvah to have a Suda at night, but that doesn't replace the need for a Suda during the day as well. And that's what he quotes here in the name of the Bach, which goes on to page 2 of your handout, that the Bach tried to defend the Rav Yah and saying, Bevadeh, for sure, the Ikar Suda Eina Elabayah. You know, the main Suda you have to have is during the day. And if you could embellish that Suda, the Rambam says, Kefi Yecholto, as much as you can, that's where you should put all your emphasis. But, at the same time, Balayla Yesh Laharbos Ktsas B'Suda. A little bit. You should have a ribui suda at night, the night of Purim. It reminds me a little bit of Chanukah. If you take a look at Ilchus Chanukah, there's no mitzvah of suuda on Chanukah, but yet the Ramah advocates in favor of ribui ktsas suuda on Chanukah. The same thing should apply on the night of Purim, except for one difference. You know, instead of latkes, we'll have Hamantash. All right. That was just a joke.
Is there also the same Indian of Ribui Sudan Rosh Chodesh?
Ribui Sudan Rosh Chodesh, I don't know. I can tell you this. There's an Isur Tainis on Rosh Chodesh. So there's definitely a negative, a losa. So, you know, we're not allowed to fast on Rosh Chodesh. Would there be a positive command to make a special Suda? I don't know. The nafkamina would be, by the way, if let's say you left Yala V'Yavo out of benching. So usually the rule, again, there are always exceptions to every rule, is that if you had to eat a Suda, then the Tosefis, that which you add to embellish your Birkas Hamazon, becomes an integral part of the Birkas Hamazon, and it's indispensable. Without it, you have to repeat Birkas Hamazon. So the question is, let's say, for example, if I left out Ala Nisim on Purim in benching, we know that in Chanukah, if you leave out Al-Nisim and Benchi, you don't have to repeat. What about Purim?
So if it's at night, then you shouldn't have to be
calling. But if there's a Chiyuv Suda, so...
Oh, if there's no Chiyuv Suda, then not
Benchi. No, but I'm saying at night there's no Chiyuv Suda, but during the day, for sure. So the Nafkamina would be, if I left out Al-Nisim and Benchi at night, I would not repeat benching, but if I left that Alan Nissen during the day, you could argue that you should repeat benching.
Yeah,
the only problem is that when do you finish the Suda?
Right.
I just love to take a seker here. How many people in this room actually finish the Suda before Shkia, you know, before sunset? Nobody. Everybody goes into the night. So now you have a real serious problem whether you should recite Alan Nissen. I would say for sure you should recite Al-Nisim, but the Mishnah Berurah paskens in Tofret Sadihei that if you omitted Al-Nisim after nightfall, Motzei Purim, you don't repeat Birkas Hamazon.
Also, like the
even on Purim, you don't repeat.
On Purim,
you repeat Al-Nisim?
According to many poskim, again, you know, the Mishnah Berurah always adds Safek Brachos Lahakel. You know what I'm talking about. You know, if you have a Safek, leave it out. But many, many poskim are opposed to that Mishnah Berurah. They say that since it's an absolute requirement of a Suda on Purim, therefore the addition of Al-Nisim to benching is an indispensable requirement. And if you leave out Al-Nisim, you messed up really bad. You know, so I'm not telling you Allah Kalmaisa, but... You know.
The Ribui Suda on Purim is just as far as Basar V'Yayin, not as far as bread, right?
Oh, so let's see about bread. That's what we're going to see. Everything hinges on your question about bread. Okay. Now, in the second paragraph on page 2, you have the Eliyahu Rabbah, and he quotes the Seder Ayom, which is an ancient Sefer that goes back many, many centuries. And he says that on Leil Purim, get this, this is very important for the women folk, you should make sure that there are neros, that there are candles lit, dolkos, and that the entire house should be prepared. The beds are made, and the table is set. What does that remind you of?
Shabbos.
Yeah, but which aspect of Shabbos?
Kavod.
Kavod Shabbos, exactly. that the mitzvah of covered Shabbos, to prepare the house for Shabbos, applies on Purim. That itself is a radical Kiddush. But to boot, to say that it applies on the night of Purim, that's the Eliyahu Rabba's Kiddush. And the strange thing about it is that he's quoting a very early source, the Seder Hayom. You know, we should all know about this, and yet most of us have never heard of it. And he says, not only are your beds prepared and the house is made, arranged beautifully, and the table and the neros, he says on top of that, Yochal v'yishte v'simcha v'tuv lev v'yismach anshe beso v'yirchak me'em kol riv u'matz. This should be the ambience of simcha, gathered together the family even at night. I can tell you this, in many yeshivas, and I think, Max, you'll know one yeshiva that you could vouch for, and Adam will know it too. They make more of a deal on the night of Purim than they do during the day. You know, my wife is famous for her punch, so she gives, you know, the yeshiva guys used to get that punch on the night of Purim. You know, I didn't want to tell her that I'm not sure if there's a mitzvah to get drunk on the night of Purim. We could talk about drinking on Purim, that we're going to get to, but I don't know about drinking the night going into Purim. But some of the yeshivas were very machmir based on this Eliyahu Rabba. Hook, line, and sinker, the night of Purim is even greater than Purim itself.
Especially so that people get so drunk and hungover that they don't drink during the day.
That's right, that's not good. You have to drink during the day. Because the Pasuk says, Yimei Mishtev Simcha. And that means the day itself. As I told you, the Miri holds that the night is not even part of Purim. So you're getting drunk the night before Purim. That's great. You might as well get drunk on Tu B'Shvat. What good does it do you?
There's some Yeshiva Bachman or Machman on that too.
Yeah, if there's 14 types of wine, then
okay, Jonathan. Right. We're gonna talk to you later on and find out what yeshivas you hang out with. You know, hung out. All right. Now you have. Oh, you went to Shalviv?
Yeah.
Oh, I know that place. I spent 10 years of my life there. Okay. So now Rabbeinu Simcha. We're up to Rabbeinu Simcha. You have that? Rabbeinu Simcha, who's quoted by the Beit Yosef on the tour in Tafresh Tadihei, says that if a person took a neder not to eat on Purim, then he's allowed to eat a Seudas Purim on the night of Purim, because that's not considered part of Purim. His neder was not to eat the Seuda on Purim. Or maybe he means that in Haflah, which means in the Dharm and Shmuz, is HaKol Holech Eft Acher Das B'Neyodah, maybe he had in mind to enjoin himself from the Seudas Purim on Purim, because maybe the year before he got drunk, and maybe he got murdered, and he was resurrected from the dead. I don't know where the Gemara tells that story. But be that as it may, he's allowed to eat the Seudas Purim at night. Okay, so that's a Chiddush, but there's a much more radical Chiddush here. Rabbeinu Simcha says not only is he allowed to eat the Seudas Purim at night, but that if he does so, he fulfills his obligation. Now the Rav Yoh didn't go that far. The Rav Yoh was only endorsing and possibly even advocating that we eat a Seudah at night, but not to replace the Seudah during the day, which is an absolute chiyuv. How does Rabbeinu Simcha square with the Gemara of Rava and of Zainam and Beis, Seudas Purim Shachna Balayla Lo Yotzi Yedei Chametz? Max, you have an answer? Anybody have an answer? No, really, it's an unbelievable kashi. Rabbeinu Simcha was one of the Rishonim. And he's actually quoted in the Beit Yosef. Maybe what he means is, and again, this is just a wild idea, that when a person takes a neder and he makes it impossible for himself to fulfill the mitzvah of Purim the way it was originally formulated, then he has a fallback position. And that fallback position allows him to fulfill the mitzvah of Seudas Purim at night. Would Rabbeinu Simcha go as far as to say that if you took a neder, that at night, therefore, you would have to give Mishloach Manos and fulfill your mitzvah of Mishloach Manos and Matanos of Yonim? Can we now squeeze the entire Purim into the night of Purim? We've got Kriyas HaMegillah, now we got Seudah, now we also want to add Mishloach Manos and Matanos of Yonim. But my friends, I'm telling you, what I just told you now is absolutely wrong. It cannot be correct. Because the Pasuk says, Yemei Simcha V'Mishnah. It's got to be by day. So with all due respect, I feel for this guy. My heart goes out for him. He took a neder which precludes him from eating the Seudah during the day. But you can't invent a new mitzvah and say that you fulfill the mitzvah of Purim at night.
Isn't Yemei plural?
Why does Yemei, it apply? Oh, that's an interesting question. What is the plural Yemei refer to?
Proventusion.
Exactly. The 14th and the 15th.
So we can't, like, the night that's in between them, we can't, like, you know, use him?
You remind me of the Gemara Pesachim. The Gemara wants to know if you have to eat matzah during the night between the first day and the second day. You know, there's a Havamim. In any event, that's what I can tell you here about Ravenu Simcha. It's a Pella of a Chiddush here, and it's quoted by the Beit Yosef. Now we're up to Simchas Purim and Simchas Yontov. Just give me your knee-jerk response without trying to be an Iver Chacham, as we say. What would you say is the mitzvah of Simcha and Yontif identical to the mitzvah of Simcha and Purim? If I needed a paradigm for the mitzvah of Simcha, where would I find my paradigm?
Yontif.
No, it's a machta b'chagefa. And the one of those post-givers wanted to suggest that to the same extent that we have a mitzvah of Simcha on Yontif, we have an identical mitzvah of Simcha on Purim. Okay? And just like on Yontif, the essential mitzvah of the day, and this is for sure in the case of Shavuos, which has no other mitzvahs, and it's probably true even for Pesach and Sukkot, Simcha really represents, how shall I say it, the kishkis of Yontif. You know, this is the ultimate goal. So he writes the following. He says that if we accept the analogy between Yontif and Purim, well, when does the mitzvah of Simcha and Yontif begin? Do we wait until the morning? We start at night. The night is part of Yontif, and it engenders a chiyuv of Simcha. He says then, all the minhagim of Simcha should apply even at the night of Purim. Why? Because it's got to be a mirror reflection of Yontif. And just like in Yontif we start at night, so too there's a chova Simcha and the night of Purim. And basically,
yeah, what if Yontif is two days, so Purim is also two?
No, what it means is that we take the day of Purim and we fit it into the peg of a day of Yontif. You know, it's got to mirror the image of Yontif. And in Yontif, the moed is 24 hours. There's no difference between the night and the day. We should therefore apply the same chi of Simcha during the nighttime. Who says this chiddush? How many of you have heard of the former chief rabbi of Yerushalayim? I'm going back a little bit. Rav Bezalel Zsolti. Never heard of him? He was a brilliant scholar, and he wrote a voluminous work called Mishnas Yavetz. And some of his chidushim, some of his famous chidushim, are on Moadim. And he says that the concept of Moed implies that the night and the day are two parts of a whole. And since Purim has the status of Simcha, therefore it should have the status of a Moed. In fact, the Gemara says that on Purim, like on any Yontif, we should be reciting Hallel. But I don't know anyone who recites Hallel on Purim.
And then we should do.
You know someone who does?
When it falls on Rosh Chodesh.
And then we should do 2 days in
Chol. That's
got
to be Purim, though.
No? And then it's like 2 days in Chol.
What?
Then you do 2 days of Purim in Chol. Because all of a sudden you're not sure which day is which. What?
Take it yellow.
It's not Chol.
But what does that have to do with Hallel? I didn't catch. What are we talking about?
No, I'm adding on to that. That not only Hallel, but also you have to do 2 days of Purim. Because you're not sure which day is the right day of Purim.
1 minute. I don't know. Are you guys pulling my leg today? Like, is this all?
I was.
I was.
Is this all pulling Purim shtick? I was. No, wait a minute. No. I was just asking the following question: is there a Havamin that we should recite Hallel on Purim?
Yes.
2 days, 1 day. I don't care which way you go, and not even the night between the two.
The Gemara.
What?
The Gemara asked the question 1 minute.
Excellent. And what's the Gemara's answer? The Gemara gives three answers actually, but what was the third answer? You remember the main? Correct, that Megillah replaced Hallel. So the Meiri writes that if you don't have a Megillah, you should recite Hallel on Purim.
Wow.
And that's how he paskins. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes this Meiri in the Bir Halacha, apparently taking him quite seriously. I never saw someone who actually read Hallel on Purim. But for Chayalim in the army, this could be very relevant. They can't get over to a public place where they're reading the Megillah and they don't have a private Megillah, then they might recite Hallel. And that, I think, would support the position here of Rav Zsolti. I'll be right with you. Look at the line here in the name of Rav Zsolti. in his book Mishnas Yavetz, he writes that no, there's a difference between Simcha on Yontif, which is Doraisa, and the mitzvah of Simcha on Purim, which is only Derabbana. Now, let me ask you the question. Okay, I admit that Purim is only Derabbana, but why should we give it an inferior status? Why not say Kol Tika Doraisa? Kol Tika Derabbana Kein Doraisa Tiku. So he wants to say the following. This is the next paragraph, then I'll get back to you. He says, Moadim shel Torah, when the Torah envisions a Moed, is Itzumo shel Yom Mechayev Hanhoga Simcha. There's something called the Itzumo shel Yom, meaning the essence of the day. The Kedusha Sayom. The essence of the day of Yontif engenders Simcha. And that's why the Rambam Perek Vav says in Hilchos Yontif, Chayev Adam Lios Bem Sameach V'tuv Lev. Who ubanav the ishto ubnei beis avachal nilvim elav? And the Rambam says that when the Beis Hamikdash stood, how did they fulfill the mitzvah of simcha? What carbon did they bring on Yontif? Who remembers? Shalei simcha. Then they would divide up the shlamim amongst the members of the family. Again, I don't know what the vegetarians did. I can't tell you, but they ate some good meat. And he says that Bizman Azeh, the Rambam says, we don't have Shalmei Simcha, but nevertheless, we find other ways of substituting for the Simcha. But that's only on Yontif, which is a Moed Doraisa, and we have Halacha, that you have to eat meat on Yontif, drink wine on Yontif, you have to buy your wife clothing, you know, new clothing, and colored garments. Again, I don't know what color, it doesn't say. And then for... No, I'm talking about Yontif now. Yeah, you wanted to get an extra. And then he says, the ketanim, you give them klayos vegozim. I tried this, it didn't go too well with my kids. Alright, I'm going to try it with my grandchildren, I don't know if it's going to work. And then, on Purim, says Rav Zsolti, the mitzvah of Simcha is not essential to the day. It's not the Tzumo Shel Yom that generates Simcha, but rather Chazal established a mitzvah of mishteh. Mishteh means to set up a suda, and all the details of simcha have to fit into that context, that framework of suda. And that's why the Rambam, when he talks about simcha in Purim, he says chovas suuda zu. He's not talking about a general mitzvah of simcha. The mitzvah of simcha is inherent in suuda. And therefore the Suda of Purim is different than the Suda of Yontif. And here, with regard to Purim, what we find is Shtiyas Yayin, Achilas Basar, to make a lavish meal. And then the Rambam says, Vishose Yayin Achi Shtaker. We don't see that in Yontif. And I'll tell you what I think is going on here. In Yontif, the Simcha is meant to bring us Lifnei Hashem. V'samachtem Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. Simcha in Halacha means Lifnei Hashem. In the case of Purim, the Simcha is the Achila, the Shsia, Ad Lo Yada. Ad Shishtake. But then the Rambam adds two words. V'yeirodem B'shekrusa. He should fall asleep from his drunkenness. And the poskim say that what the Rambam means is, how do you fulfill Ad Lo Yada? At what point do you not know the difference between Haman and Mordechai? When you fall asleep. So for those who are opposed to getting drunk on Purim, Yeshal Milisma, they can rely on the Rambam.
Good luck on falling asleep if you live anywhere near a big street.
You're going to have to drink enough so that you knock out, you know, you're so drunk that you block out the noise from the street.
That's pretty loud.
Is it also for women?
No. It's not for only for men. This is a men only. I would say that the women should drink wine on Purim, and that's a mitzvah, but not to get drunk. The men are might be encouraged to get drunk or discouraged to get drunk, depending upon which poskim you follow. But he says the Mishnas Yavetz, and I think this is a major breakthrough, that the Simcha of Yontif and the Simcha of Purim are essentially two different entities.
What's an nafkamina?
Nafkamina would be the following. That on Yontif you drink a cup of wine and that's it. On Purim you continuously drink wine. On Purim, for example, you have to eat meat. On Yontif, I don't know that you have to eat meat. on Yontif, whatever brings you to a state of simcha, if you like a good steak, adarab. But if that's not what does it for you,
I would have said the exact opposite. I would have said that when it takes tzumas yom is mechayev, every second of the day, that's a chiv simcha, to drink the whole day. When it's just the sunnah that's mechayev, it's only during the sunnah.
But why do you want to eat and drink the whole day? Is that gonna bring you to a state of lifting Hashem? You know.
So how have you expressed simcha? What's the manifestation of simcha?
So again, the Rambam says depends. You know, for women it's wearing the beautiful clothing. For the children it's klayos vekosim. For the men it's eating meat. But what I would say is that although today we eat meat on Yontif, but back in the day they ate basar karban. You know, that's a, I don't know how much basar karban you get. You know, the karban was divided up amongst many people. But somehow the linkage to a karban, the karban milosh nakrov, coming lifnei Hashem, that pushes you lifnei Hashem. And, you know, they say that that there was certain gedolim, they would learn certain beautiful sugyas that they enjoyed very much on Yontif, that brought them lifnei Hashem. It's a very subjective question. What brings you lifnei Hashem? But the point is, says Rav Zsolti, that in Simchas Yontif, the Simcha is a means to an end. We want to get to a certain goal, to a certain emotional achievement. In the case of Purim, that's the nature of the Chiyuv Simcha. The Suda means you have to eat meat, you have to drink wine, and keep going and going continuously. I don't know if that answers your question, Adam, but it's a possibility. Look at the paragraph that starts with Sefer Mishnas Yavitz. You have that? He says that the Pasuk says in Megillas Esther, Simcha u'mishte v'yontif. And that follows after Kivlu Aleihem. They accepted upon themselves, Lasos Osan, to make these days Yimei Mishte v'simcha. So initially they wanted to establish Yom HaPurim as a yontif. But, and that would entail an Isur Malacha, but it was never accepted as a Yontif. They only established it as a day of Mishteh V'Simcha. The Mishteh V'Simcha means that's the essence of what the Suda's Purim is all about. He says, L'chor Yesh L'hoir, you have that? Madua Hichlif HaSeder. He says, Meikar Nemar Simcha V'Achar Kach Mishteh, Yimei Simcha U'Mishteh V'Yomtov. V'lacharkach nemar lehefach. First it says mishteh, and then it says simcha. So there's a contradiction in the psukim in terms of the sequence. One time at the beginning it says simcha first, and then mishteh, and then afterwards it says mishteh first, and then simcha. The answer is ki mitchila, from the get-go they wanted to establish Purim as a yontif with isur malacha, and therefore simcha has to come first. Why? Because the mitzvah of Yontif is the mitzvah of Simcha. And any mishteh that you do, any celebration and banquets that you have on Yontif, they're all meant to fulfill the mitzvah of what? Of Simcha. However, they never accepted Purim as a Yontif. They left it as days of mishteh and Simcha. And now the Pasuk says Mishteh first and Simcha second, because Ikaro Shel Yom, the main feature and obligation of the day, is not Simcha, but rather Mishteh. Mishteh is a reference to Yayin, right? Shtiyas Yayin Mishteh. And Simcha is a reference to Achilas Basar. But it's not that one is a means to an end. It's not a conduit. It's not an introduction. It's not like on Yontif, where the mitzvah is Simcha, and you have to figure out how to arrive, how to achieve Simcha. Here, the mitzvah is Mishteh. And that Mishteh is a mitzvah unto itself. Now let me ask you a question about Ad Lo Yada. Let's say a person reaches the level of Ad Lo Yada. Is he potter from the mitzvah? Has he fulfilled his mitzvah? It says in the Gemara, Chayav Inish Lipsume Bapuraya Ad Lo Yada. Does the Ad Lo Yada mean that that itself clinches the mitzvah? Excellent. But let's say I hold Ad V'Ad B'chal. Does the Ad V'Ad B'chal mean that Adalo Yoda, and now I'm finished, the mitzvah's gone?
Meaning what? That if he sleeps and then he wakes up...
Exactly, he's beautiful. What happens if a man gets drunk at 12 noon on Purim, takes a rest, he wakes up 2 hours later, guess what? He's not drunk anymore. Does he have a mitzvah of shtir? Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that the mitzvah of shtiyas yayin is continuous the entire day. Adalo Yoda doesn't mean that he finished his chiyuv. Adalo Yoda means in that state of shikrus, he's so drunk, he calls it like shikrus shalot. You know, he can't discern between Mordechai and Esther. At that point, he can't be mechayev him in a mitzvah. But he's really inherently chayev to continuously drink. And the nafkamina is, if he goes to sleep or whatever have you, has some cups of water, whatever gets him back to being sober, now he's got a chiyuv to continue drinking. Again, I think you see from this chiddush of Rabbi Yisrael that the mitzvah here is not a means to an end. There's a continuous mitzvah of drinking the entire Purim. Can you be yotzei by drinking whiskey? I'm not sure. The Rambam says yayin. Why should yayin be different than whiskey? Exactly. Because we go back to the original mishteh of Megillas Esther. What we are doing is we are in a sense rectifying what we messed up on back in the Mishnah. You remember Chazal say that why was this Gzeirah of Haman instituted? What was our sin? Shekeinenu misudasa shalosu rasha. Now what that means I don't know, you know, but Nenu, they had too much pleasure from that Mishnah. Were they obligated to attend the Mishnah? Mordechai told them not to, but they went anyway, and then they enjoyed it. You know, sometimes you have to do something because you have no choice, but doesn't mean you have to enjoy it. But sometimes maybe you could even enjoy it. I don't know. What would you say about that?
And what?
You know the famous story about the Jew gets called into the pirates. And the pirates pours him a half a cup of wine. And he says, let's drink together. Now obviously the Jew is a frum yid. He knows that he's not allowed to drink that wine. And he hesitates. And then the pirates pulls out his revolver. And he puts it on the table. Now it's already pikuach nefesh. He says to the Jew, drink. So the Jew says, Adoni, my honor. Could you fill up the cup? You know, now that I have to drink it, why not fill it up to the top? So the Jews had to go to the, I'm just using it as a marshal, they had to attend the Suda of Achashverosh. But she came then, you know, they had such a geschmack from that Suda. That already, I don't know, that far they didn't have to go. But it could be that the reason why Suda's Purim has to be the way it is, and Shtiyas Yayin, as opposed to any other intoxicating beverage, is because we want to duplicate those Mishnah. And by the way, it's not just the first Mishnah. How many Mishnahs do we have? I think I count three, right? Or is it more than three in Megillas Esther?
They have like
Achashverosh. There's the Mishnah of Vashti. There's Esther does two.
What do you mean by the Mishnah of Vashti? She had her own party?
Yeah.
It's Midrash.
Ah, no, you know, for the ladies.
Le-nashim.
Ah, okay.
The double language.
Good. And so we'll count that two.
Esther did two.
And then Esther did two. So we have four. Okay, maybe there are more.
No, there was also one when Esther became king, queen, wasn't there? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, there was also a Mishnah. So that's five.
And then they tell everyone, as we read, that that's what you made Mishnah the same time.
Correct. It doesn't surprise us that these are days of Mishnah. I mean, when I say days, again, I mean Yudalit and Tesvav, because Mishnah seems to repeat itself as a theme throughout the entire Megillah.
There's also Achashverosh and Haman. They were just getting drinks when they decided to kill all the Jews.
To kill the Jews, yeah, there is.
I don't know if that was a Mishnah.
Right. Take a look at the bottom of page 2, going on to page 3. We have about another minute or two, because we started late, but if you have to go, you have to go. He says the following, there's a fundamental distinction between Yontif, where the Simcha is Kol Echad B'Masha Roilo, it's subjective, as opposed to Purim, that Chazal established a specific reflection or expression of this Simcha as Mishnah. And therefore, Vinogeli Etzem Hayos Adam Samech V'Tovlev. We're moving on to page 3. Bevadai Shegam Bepurim Olenu Largish Et Simchas Hazman. Okay, it's Yimei Mishnah and Simcha, but here Chazal, in a sense, pegged it. You know, they framed it in a very specific way. It's not subjective. This is the Suda. And if we want to spill over into the night before Purim, then perhaps we could say that even in the night of Purim, we should establish the night as also part of the Yom Mishteh V'Simcha. And then the Rambam writes, Mitzvah L'Harbos B'Sudas Purim. And the Bach says that even though he might have to curtail his learning Torah, it doesn't matter. Ein lachshosh mishum bittul beis hamedrash dekevan deosik b'mitzvah laharbos b'sudas purim poter b'mitzvah talmud Torah b'beis hamedrash. So he's alleviated from his responsibility to study the Torah in the beis hamedrash. Okay. Now, I know we have to end soon, so we'll skip this. There are two sections here about whether you have to eat meat and whether you have to drink wine. I want to fast forward to the paragraph on the left side about eating a pas. Do you have to establish this meal over bread? Break bread, as we say. I think our minig is yes, no? Does everybody have that minig to wash for the Pesudas Purim? Mm-hmm. He says that in the Prima Gadim, that was a suffix. He wasn't sure whether or not it's sufficient to eat meat and drink wine, or you additionally have to open the meal by breaking bread. And in the Poskim, this is a controversy to this day. The Marshal, that's the Chochmah Shlomo, writes that Chayav Adam Lechol Pas B'Sudas Purim. It's an absolute requirement to eat bread at the Suda. And therefore, he says, if you omit al anisim in Birkas Hamazon, Choser Levarech Shuv, he has to repeat Birkat Hamazon. And he says that even if he ate at one meal a pas, let's say for breakfast he had pas shachris, but nevertheless, if he hasn't yet eaten his Sudas Purim, his main Suda, then he should make sure to have pas at the Sudas Purim. And he says that in the morning Suda, since at that point he hasn't yet fulfilled his mitzvah of Suda, if he forgot al anisim, he should repeat benching a second time around. However, Rav Yaakov Emdin, who's the author of the Moruk Tzia, a very basic sefer on Psak, says Chayav Adam Lechol Pas B'Sudas Purim V'Chein Das HaShalah, that like the Marshal, you must absolutely eat bread on Purim. But the Magen Avraham disagrees, and he writes that how can you tell me that I have to repeat benching? The law is that if I leave out al anisim in tefillah and shmon esrei, I don't have to repeat shmon esrei. Al anisim is an addendum, it embellishes shmon esrei, but it's not an absolute requirement. Why should birkas hamazon be more strict and more severe, more demanding than tefillah? It doesn't make any sense. It's paradoxical to say that in tefillah, which is the main al anisim, if you left it out, if you omitted it accidentally, you don't have to repeat the tefillah. And yet in the case of benching, which is a secondary kind of chiyuv, I would have to repeat benching because I left that al anisim.
What? Why not? He didn't have to have the suda, as opposed to he did have to daven, right?
So you're making the question even stronger, though.
No.
Because he's asking, why is it that I'd have to repeat Birkas HaMazon in tefillah? If I omit al anisim, I don't have to repeat tefillah. Why should I have to repeat Birkas HaMazon if I left out al anisim?
Because he would have been having tefillah even if it wouldn't have been Purim. So
you're saying that since
the whole meal is because of the chiyuv.
Excellent. Since on Purim there's a separate chiyuv of suuda, so it's different than tefillah. And whenever there's a chiyuv suda, you have to embellish the Birkas HaMazon. I think the longest here is that the Birkas HaMazon establishes the nature of the suda. And since you have a chiyuv to eat the suda, And if you leave out the embellishment, the Tosefes, then you haven't upgraded your Suda to the status of a Suda's Chova, whether it's Yontif, Shabbos, or in this case Purim. He's not Yotzi the Suda's Purim. Go back to Simcha, Bibasar, V'yayin. Okay?
Can we make a Zoom first?
Oh, yeah, please. Now, the Poskim say that Simcha's Purim should be Dafka with meat. And I had this question recently from a chavrusa of mine. He says his wife is preparing special cheese and fish for Purim. I said, that's okay. But I think after you bench, you probably want to eat some meat because of this whole school of thought that Purim requires achilas basar.
What if someone doesn't like meat? I mean, like, why would we make him eat meat because we think that it's simcha?
So what happens if someone doesn't like wine? Should we force him to drink? So you know that the Gemara tells us, I think it's in Yerushalmi, I'm not sure if it's in Bavli, that on the night of the Seder, of the Pesach Seder, one of the Amoraim forced himself to drink 4 cups of wine.
Then he nearly died or something.
Well, I don't know if he nearly died. I remember that he had headaches all the way till Shavuos. And the poskim derived from that that when there's a chiv to drink wine, even if you're mitztayer, you feel very, very uncomfortable about drinking wine, nevertheless you have to push yourself. Now, would that apply to Purim?
Right. There's that simple.
Have a great day.
There's just a chiv of arba kosos. It's not a...
Well, also, you can add another 2 words. What's the nature of the mitzvah of dalet kosos?
To remember the 4...
Right. Derech... Chirus, you remember that phrase? Derech Chirus?
It's part of the whole thing.
So that's the essence of Dalet Kosos. If wine is considered Derech Chirus, let's say going to that school of thought, then you have to drink wine. Here, the question is, what is the mitzvah of drinking wine? Is it on Purim in order to achieve Simcha? I'm mitztayer from wine. I get sick from wine. Do I have to drink wine? Or is it just a separate, independent mitzvah, as we discussed earlier today, of drinking wine? So if you look at this paragraph here, he says that an Avel in the Shulchan Aruch, Tafresh Tzadi Vav, is allowed to eat meat on Purim, even if he's an Onein. Now, Onein means before the burial. So he's not allowed to eat meat, but on Purim he's allowed to eat meat. So we see from this...
Onein is Potter Min HaMitzvahs also, so it's...
Okay. All right. You're raising a good question. But he says Yesh Misha Omer Shaonein Mutter Bebasar VeYayin, that an Onein who's normally enjoined from drinking wine and eating meat is allowed to do so. De Lo Asi Esei De Yochid Avelus VeDochi Esei De Ravim Doraisa L'Smach BePurim. Wow. In other words, he's saying that the mitzvah of Purim is upgraded to the level of an essay doraisa, so to speak. And not only that, it's an essay deravim. It's your problem as an ovel, it's your own problem as an individual. But the ravim is an even greater entity.
Yeah, right. In standard mitzvahs, asay, there's no difference, there's no such thing as asay yochel, asay ravim. But here, because it's a derabanan, if they made it like an essay, so that's why they put in the Robin thing.
But it comes out that to the same extent that Simchas Yontif somehow trumps Avelus and undermines, because the Gemara says about Simchas Yontif it's an essay to Rabin, the Mechaber is applying the same thing in Shulchan Aruch to Purim and defining it as an essay to Rabin, and it trumps Avelus. And the Prima Gadim learns from this Psak of the Shulchan Aruch that Achiv Simcha Bepurim Udafka Bebasav Yai. In other words, why do we have to force this Avel to give up on his Avelus on Purim and drink wine and eat meat? Let him find a different way of achieving Simcha. Is that the only way you get to Simcha? Says the Prima Gadim, apparently there's a separate mitzvah on Purim to drink wine and to eat meat.
Maybe when you want to avoid him from achieving simcha through these manners, it's not the same as when you look at what you need to do in order to get the simcha.
So he seems to be saying the Prima Gordon, that on Yontif, you might ask the question, what do I have to do to get to the state of Simcha? But on Purim, I can't find any alternative methods. The way that the mitzvah was established was Achilas Basar and Shtias Yayin. He says, therefore, Misha Biyodah Lasos Lechel Basar Bakar Bepurim. If anyone has the funds to do so, he should eat real steak meat on Purim. Possibly as a fallback position, chicken. This touches on the whole question, what's the status of basar of? Is it the same status as basar bakar?
Deer.
Like what?
Deer. Deer is not a behemoth, deer is a
chaya.
Maybe it's not the same.
I don't know. He says, "Beleket Yosher." You know, the Gemara has a suffix about svi, about what we call venison, as far as Simchas Yontif, because you need what's called shavel chol nefesh. So the Gemara says it's called shavel chol nefesh, just that not everyone can afford it. In any event, he says in the Leket Yosher, "Dafka mevursha ena dover kaveino the mekayimis mitzvah sudas purim b'sar of." So there are those who are machmir that even chicken is not enough for the sudas purim. However, if somebody, this is Rav Avadya Yosef, if somebody finds it difficult to eat meat, he can certainly fulfill the mitzvah of Simchas Purim by eating chicken. But the idea of eating cheese, I don't know. You know, again, I'm sure there's always some posek out there who'll say that if you enjoy cheese, but it seems that the bulk of the poskim here, the majority of the poskim, are in favor of meat as a separate mitzvah. Whether you can expand it to include chicken, I don't know. But certainly there is a separate mitzvah here of eating meat.
But just like it says meat, it also says simcha. So you can say that, I guess, that there's a Indian of, like, that the simcha comes with the meat, but then also the meat needs to come with simcha. And if there's no simcha here,
so that's what we keep asking over and over again. Is it that the meat is to bring you to the state of Simcha? That's certainly true on Yontif. Here, it could be that Chazal established a separate mitzvah of eating meat. We'll see in the next paragraph about drinking wine. He says that there's a separate mitzvah of Mishteh Yayin, and a person is obligated to drink wine. We'll be finished in a minute. Yeah, you need the room?
No.
Oh. Okay, he says that the mitzvah of drinking wine on Purim is to be integrated into the Sudas Purim. Let's say, for example, I want to drink wine outside of the framework of the Sudas Purim. It seems from the Shulchan Aruch and other poskim that it's got to be with. And let's go back to the Rambam's language. The Rambam writes, this is Perek Beis Halacha Tesvav Hilchos Megillah, she yochal basar v'yisakein suda k'fiyashet v'shose yayin. So Rambam says, you eat the Suda, and then you drink the wine. It seems from this Rambam that the drinking the wine is part of the Suda. It's not a separate mitzvah.
So that means that what we said before, that if someone washes hands for breakfast, and then, so the if he needs to be chozer on al-hanisim or not, so like if he didn't drink wine during that Suda, so he's anyway not making the mitzvah there, so he shouldn't have to be
absolutely 100%. Just like we said, if you leave at Al Anisim at night of Purim, so too in the morning of Purim Shachris, you're still anticipating later on in the afternoon eating Yesudas Purim with Yayin and Basar. Then if we go like those poskim, like the Baruch Tzio, the others who say that you must say Al Anisim and it's indispensable, and if you leave at Al Anisim, you have to repeat benching, that's only the one. Right, and that's the Iker Suda, the Suda's Purim, right. But not the first Suda in the morning. You're right, 100%. And finally, just to finish this up, he says about drinking on Purim until you get drunk, he says that many poskim warn a person not to get carried away with this mitzvah. Because if you get to the point at which you really are drunk, you're stone drunk, I guess you'd say, how would you say it in English, and you past all ability of sober to be sober.
Is that
blind drunk?
Blind drunk. If you're blind drunk, he says, like the shikras of Lot. You remember that Lot didn't realize that he was having relations with his two daughters. He says, He says there are different minhagim, but a person in general should be careful about how he drinks, and if he's not careful, he may lose the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon and Tefillah. You know, if he doesn't get to Dab Mincha, Meir, you know, all that is more important than the Sudas Purim. And not only that, it could be Birkas HaMazon is essential to create the Sudas Purim, as we as we discussed before. And therefore, on the top left of your page so 3, he quotes the Mishnah Brura, and the Mishnah Brura writes, Omnam hayodea bi'atzmo, a person realizes about himself, she yizalzel b'mitzvah min ha-mitzvahs, he won't fulfill those mitzvahs, he won't be meticulous about netilas yadayim, about brachos, about Birkas HaMazon, he won't dav mincha mayriv, oshi yino kalus rush. He gets carried away and he does things that, you know, are very embarrassing.
Like drunk people
do. He says, mutav shalo yishtaker. The Mishnah Brura writes, it's better that he shouldn't get drunk, but v'chol masav yishim shemayim, he should investigate himself and see, can he drink and not get this crazy drunk, or can he not? You know, as long as his drinking is L'Shem Shammai.
If he needs to drink wine during the Suda, so every Suda has a Birkas HaMazon at the end, and so he drinks the wine until Ad Deloyada, and we expect from him to say Birkas HaMazon, like to be in a state where he can actually have Kavana, and like... You
know, I guess we're expecting him to wake up at some point. He's got to wake up at some point, you know. But the Rav Yisrael Salanter says even after he wakes up, he's still chayv to go drink. You know,
and he must wake up while he still has the chiyuv of Birkas HaMazon, which is 72 minutes. So he like needs to.
You know, you're asking a very good question. Let me just try to reformulate your question. Tell me if this is what you're asking. How could Chazal establish an obligation, Adol Yoda, and then at the same time tell us that we have to bench, and we have to daven? Once you get to Adol Yoda, are you able to concentrate on your benching?
Right.
Is that your question?
Yes.
It's an excellent question. You know, the Vilna Gaon is famous for saying that Adol Yoda means that you can't tell the difference between two miracles that took place on Purim. One is Mapeles Haman, and Haman went down, and the other is Gdulas HaShel Mordechai. These are the two great miracles of Purim. When you get to the point where you're so confused you can't differentiate between the two, then the Gaon says you fulfill the mitzvah of Adlo Yod. And Rav Hutner, you know, in this Pachet Yitzchak, you familiar with that? Anyway, Rav Hutner was a great Rosh Hashiva in America, and he wrote a book called Pachet Yitzchak. It's many volumes, but one volume is dedicated to Purim, or half a volume. And he writes there that Adlo Yoda is not the end of the mitzvah. Adol Yoda means at some point he gets confused between Mordechai and Haman, but that's not the Iker mitzvah. You know, then at some point he has to sing Shoshan es Yaakov. You know, Baruch Mordechai, you know, V'or Haman. So there are all sorts of approaches to this whole issue about drunkenness on Purim. Should one get drunk? Should we not get drunk? I think that the last few words of the Mishnah Brura are the most critical words. Ubilvad sheyechavenes libo l'shamayim. I don't really believe that there's an objective, absolute answer to this question. I think that everyone has to judge for themselves. If you're going to get drunk to the point where you're going to miss up on Mitzvah Doraisa, and especially Birkas HaMazon, which is part of the Suda, then paradoxically what you're doing is you're forfeiting everything that you gained over here. Is Yatsa Scharab Efseno in the seesaw? You left worse than when you started. I would not encourage such a person to get drunk, and especially this year here in Yerushalayim. Are you Yerushalmi?
Kochav Yaakov.
So that's already 14. What about you?
Yeah, I am
Yerushalayim, and I'm your Yerushalayim, right? 15. So imagine getting drunk on Erev Shabbos. You're going to forfeit the mitzvah of Kvod Shabbos. You're going to forfeit the mitzvah of Leil Suda v'Shabbos if you really get too carried away. I can't begin to encourage you to get that drunk.
You can't drink with Kvod Shabbos?
On Friday.
I don't know if it's Kvod Shabbos. It's Kvod Purim, but not Kvod Shabbos. And I would say that Kvod Shabbos is a greater mitzvah than Kvod Purim.
Yeah.
But what I would suggest is if you start your Suda early and you start drinking, so that hopefully by the end of the day, you know, before you get to close to Shabbos, you can sober up. That's a different story.
Maybe like you, sorry.
I was just going to ask a quick one. Is there a Hebrew type red wine and a white wine, like on Pesach?
I would say the following. It all depends on what what you enjoy. On Pesach, red wine is supposed to be zecher to the dam, you know, that they used, you know, to from. You remember the Chazal say that Paro had Taras. I don't want to go into details, it gets me depressed, but you know, we really suffered a lot. So they say that red wine is a Hidur, but I think that's a pain. In terms of Purim, I would say that it really is a subjective question. Whatever you enjoy more,
good,
and whatever will bring you more to the state of Adlo Yoda, whatever your psak, whatever your opinion is on Adlo Yoda, that's the wine that you should prefer.
Maybe someone could have the Suda and then like drink a lot, and then like right away bench before it hits him, and then he gets to also to do say Birkas HaMazon with Kavana, and then get the Adeloda after this. After he's done.
So that comes back to our discussion here about when there's a mitzvah kiyum of drinking outside the Suda. Do you remember that paragraph?
But he hasn't benched yet.
Oh, I thought you said he benched already.
Yeah, he drank during the Suda.
Right. No, but now you want to drink after the benching.
No.
What happens? He catches himself before he's drunk.
Right.
And he benches.
Right. And then the shtia that from within the Suda hits him only after.
Is that biologically true? So, yeah. Okay, great.
I have to go.
Yeah, go ahead.
So if you're hungry,
all the food in the fridge. Work?
Yeah, which fridge?
Work? I'm already enjoying that.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Okay, maybe I'll grab a bite. I was just so.
Yeah,
they sent me back twice, and
it happens. Those shomeres are just.
I mean, I said to the guy, you know, I've been coming every Sunday. Called the this, and she said, "No, I don't have any sure."
It happens. People come for interviews. It happens, like.
Really?
Yeah, it's a balagan.
So it's a balagan. Chlamaisa, if you left out, Alanisim, the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, and Sifkat Yud Beis here in Tafresh Sarihei, Eino Chozer, Mipnei Shesofek Brachos Lahakel. And that all, you know, hinges on this question of whether there's a Chiyuv Tid Pas on Purim, and the Shevet Alevi summarizes a lot of the different poskim, the Magen Avraham and others who say you don't have to eat pas on Purim. Now here it says in the Aruch HaShulchan that on the one hand he writes mitzvah lechol pas, but on the other hand he paskins that if you leave out al anisim, eino chozer. In other words, the din of Chazorah and Birkas HaMazon is the same, and certainly not more severe than the Chazorah and Tefillah. Just like if you omit Al Anisim in Tefillah, you don't have to repeat the Shmon Esrei, so too in Birkas HaMazon. So if you had that to boot, then it could be even if Laman de Yomar, Afilu im Timsi Lomar, that you have to eat Pas, nevertheless, you don't have to repeat Birkas HaMazon, you've left out Al Anisim. The Rosh in the 7th parak of Brachos quotes Rabbeinu Yehuda, who says Chayev Adam Lechol Pas Biyontif Mishum Simcha VeIkar Achila Hu Lechem. It would seem that the obligation to eat Pas is part of Simcha, and since on Purim there is Simcha, you might want to say according to Rabbeinu Simcha, according to the Rosh in the name of Rabbeinu Yehuda, there would be a Chiyuv to be Koveya Suyas Purim on a Pas, and that I believe is the Minhag. As far as Mishloach Manos is concerned, the Rambam seems to indicate that Mishloach Manos is part and parcel of the mitzvah of Suda. It's essential to the mitzvah of Suda. That's the impression you get from the Rambam. And the Rambam writes, V'chein chayv adam l'shloach shtei monos shel basar, shnei mini tavshil, shnei mini ochlin l'chavero, shenemar u'mishloach manos yishreyehu. This is part of the Suda. It means that the mitzvah of Mishloach Manos is to facilitate someone's Suda. And if that be the case, then the inyan of Simcha with regard to Simcha's Purim with regard to a yeshiva, meaning when people are sitting together, I don't mean a yeshiva in the classical sense, but when people are together sitting around the table and they're increasing the Simcha, that's the Suda's Purim Mitzavta, you know, as a group with Mishpacha, with Chaverim, to be Marbis Simcha. That's really the way the mitzvah of Simcha should be fulfilled. And in that sense, what we're talking about is that a person should try to avoid being alone for the Suda's Purim. The Gemara in Megillah and Daf Zayin Amud Beis in the Sugya Mishloach Monos tells us that Abaye and Rav Chanina would exchange Purim meals, and they were fulfilling the mitzvah of Mishloach Monos. Again, it seems that the mitzvah of Mishloach Monos is definitely integrally connected to the mitzvah of Sudas Purim. As we said before, if a person eats on his own the Sudas Purim, it sort of reduces his level of Simcha. And finally, at the end, the last section in your handout on Zman Sudas Purim, when is the best timing for the Sudas Purim? And in general, the minhag was, and the Mishnah Berurah codifies this, that you can eat the Seuda after Mincha. The main part of the meal, says the Mishnah Berurah, should be eaten before Shkia Sachama. He does quote the Shalom who encouraged us to eat the Sudas Purim in the morning. And when Purim falls on Friday, as it does this year in Yerushalayim, most of the poskim say that we should be eating the Purim Suda in the morning, before Chatzos or at Chatzos. And this minhag is quoted in the Sefer HaMinhagim, that's Rabbi Yitzhak Isaac Tirna, and he writes, Im Chal Purim Biyom Vav, Ochlim Sudas Purim Shakris V'lo Be'erev Achar Mincha, Ki Ein LaHafzik Be'erev Shabbos Bein Mincha L'Mayriv Mipnei Kvod HaShabbos V'gam Shelo Yikalkel Su'udas Shabbos. So he writes that in honor of Shabbos, it's not appropriate that we eat the Suda that late. We should enter into Shabbos being hungry. And the Ramah codifies this in Seif Dalid, and it's also quoted in his Darkei Moshe on the tour. The Mishnah Berurah says that with regard to Sudas Purim on Erev Shabbos, L'chatchila mitzvah l'akdima b'shachlis shum kovar Shabbos, and the Aruch HaShulchan writes, Yesh lechol kodim chatzos v'chein kosov, and then you'll see it in others for him, Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, all of these encourage you to eat the Sudas Purim before Chatzos. However, if somebody doesn't manage to eat the Suda before Chatzos, he can definitely eat it later. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes, Im lo hischil mikodem yicholim lahaschil gam achar shah asiris. In other words, the normal halach that you don't eat a meal after the 10th hour on Friday is trumped by the mitzvah of Su'udas Purim. And the Mishnah Berurah also agrees to this Aruch HaShulchan in Siman Reish Mem Tes Sifkaten Yud Gimel. Now, on the other hand, if you take a look in the Beis Yosef and also in the Yad Ephraim, they write that you can start the Suda after noon and continue it into Su'uda Shabbos. And it would seem that the common custom, and that's true for both Ashkenazim and even Sfaradim, is to have the Su'udah in the morning. But there is a possibility, and that was apparently common back in the day in Yerushalayim, to start the Su'udah in the afternoon on Purim, on Friday, and continue the Su'udah straight into Shabbos. I find it a little paradoxical to do such a thing and convert a Su'udah Purim into a Suda Shabbos, because what are you going to do as far as benching is concerned? In any event, the Arizal is famous, as you know, for saying that Yom HaKippurim is Kippurim. It's like Purim. On Yom Kippur, we come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by fasting and separating ourselves from the pleasures of this world. On Purim, we come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the opposite move. We're involved and dedicated to Suda, to Simcha, to the Guf. And yet, we do it L'Shem Shamayim. We do it for the purpose of heaven, for the purpose of mitzvah. We draw close to Hashem, not by withdrawing from the physical world, but dafka, the opposite movement, engaging the world in feasting, in joy. Yom HaKippur is an acceptance of the Torah, but it's an acceptance out of yira. We're in such a state of fear that we don't eat, we don't speak, and we are completely withdrawn from involvement in the physical world. On Purim, we makabel the Torah out of love, as the Gemara says in Shabbos Peches, kibu v'kiblu, and we have the capacity on Purim to elevate our physical pleasures, our eating and our drinking, converted to something sacred of Kedusha, to the level of divine service. When we have a great Purim this year, when we zocha to take all the opportunities and the challenges of Purim and use them in the best way, L'shem Shamayim, to elevate us in the Avodas Hashem. Amen.